What about the future of the Dominican Republic? Will the natural reserve system survive under the pressures that it faces? Is there hope for the country? On these questions, I encountered divergence of opinion among even my Dominican friends. Reasons for environmental pessimism begin with the fact that the reserve system is no longer backed by the iron fist of Joaquin Balaguer. It is underfunded, underpoliced, and has been only weakly supported by recent presidents, some of whom have tried to trim its area or even to sell it. On the other hand, a major reason for environmental optimism is the country's growing, well-organized, bottom-up environmental movement that is almost unprecedented in the developing world. The Dominican environmental movement is as determined and effective as in any other country with which I am familiar. Thus, as elsewhere in the world, I see in the Dominican Republic what one friend described as an exponentially accelerating horse race of unpredictable outcome between destructive and constructive forces. Both the threats to the environment and the environmental movement opposing those threats are gathering strength in the Dominican Republic, and we cannot foresee which will eventually prevail. Similarly, the prospects of the country's economy and society arouse divergence of opinion. Five of my Dominican friends are now deeply pessimistic. They feel the Dominican Republic is slipping downhill in the direction of Haiti's grinding desperation, but it is slipping more rapidly than Haiti did. Others of my Dominican friends respond that they have seen governments come and go over the last 40 years. Yes, the current government is especially weak and corrupt, but it will surely lose the next election. The Dominican Republic is a small country in which environmental problems become readily visible to everybody. It is also a face-to-face society, where concerned private individuals have ready access to government ministers. Perhaps most important of all, one has to remember that the Dominican Republic is a resilient country that has survived a history of problems far more daunting than its present ones. What about the future of Haiti? Already the poorest and one of the most overcrowded countries in the New World, Haiti is nevertheless continuing to become even poorer and more crowded, with a population growth rate of nearly 3% per year. Haiti is so poor and so deficient in natural resources and in trained or educated human resources that it really is difficult to see what might bring about improvement. Haiti even lacks the capacity to utilize outside assistance effectively. Might the Dominican Republic play a constructive role in Haiti's future? At first glance, the Republic looks like a very unlikely source of solutions to Haiti's problems. The Republic is poor and has enough problems helping its own citizens. There is a long, deeply rooted tradition of antagonism on both sides, with many Dominicans viewing Haiti as part of Africa and looking down on Haitians, and with many Haitians in turn suspicious of foreign meddling. Today, there is little collaboration between the two governments, which tend to view each other warily or with hostility. But none of these considerations changes two fundamental facts: that the Dominican environment merges continuously into the Haitian environment, and that Haiti is the country with the strongest effect upon the Dominican Republic. If the lot of Haiti is to improve at all, I don't see how that could happen without more involvement on the part of the Dominican Republic, even though that is almost unthinkable to most Dominicans today. While the Republic's own resources are scarce, at minimum, it could assume a larger role as a bridge in ways to be explored between the outside world and Haiti. China is the world's most populous country, with about 1.3 billion people, or one-fifth of the world's total. In area, it is the third largest country, and in plant species diversity, the third richest. Its economy, already huge, is growing at the fastest rate of any major country, nearly 10% per year, which is four times the growth rate of first world economies. It has the world's highest production rate of steel, cement, aquacultured food, and television sets, both the highest production and the highest consumption of coal, fertilizers, and tobacco. It stands near the top in production of electricity, and soon, motor vehicles, and in consumption of timber. And it is now building the world's largest dam and largest water diversion project. Marring these superlatives and achievements, China's environmental problems are among the most severe of any major country, and are getting worse. The long list ranges from air pollution, biodiversity losses, cropland losses, desertification, disappearing wetlands, grassland degradation, and increasing scale and frequency of human-induced natural disasters to invasive species, overgrazing, river flow cessation, salinization, soil erosion, trash accumulation, and water pollution and shortages. These and other environmental problems are causing enormous economic losses, social conflicts, and health problems within China. All these considerations alone would suffice to make the impact of China's environmental problems on the Chinese people a subject of major concern. But China's large population, economy, and area also guarantee that its environmental problems will spill over to the rest of the world, which is increasingly affected through sharing the same planet with China.